Well, good day to you on this day and time, on this Thirsty Thursday, which we ask, are you thirsty? I hope you are today, because we're taking another step into 1 John, and this section that we will be covering is actually the real meat and potatoes of 1 John. Deeply matters, because the focus is right where it needs to be, on the foundation upon which we build our lives. And the theme of this podcast today, God is love. God is love. And we're in the fourth chapter, verses 7 through 21. And so I read those for you so that you can keep your eyes on the road or on the stovetop or whatever else as you are listening to this podcast. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God if we love one another. God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. And those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters, are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Powerful, powerful words for this writer. Instructive, almost begging the community to live love along people, along creation in the world. And so loving brothers and sisters, that's tough to do at times. How many of us have seen our family systems separated, or dividing walls built, or conversation truncated, all because we argue, we divide, we stir in hate? And 1 John, again, tries to tell us, just like the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, and John, chapter 15, that loving God and loving our neighbor simply cannot be separated. It's almost like when I've talked to folks, and somebody will say, you know, I'm not sure I believe in much of anything. And I often go back to love and say, well, but can you believe in love, in how love can be born in the world? And most people can have an image or a story or a reflection, a moment in which they experienced great love. Love is something that we truly, yes, can believe in, that we can give our lives to, that we can say yes to, even when we don't have all the steps figured out or the things that are to come next figured out. We can give ourselves to love. And so where does love of God and love of neighbor come from? In Lutheran theology, our sin puts our own desires and needs above anything or anyone else, sometimes making it impossible for us to love God or neighbor on our own. But in this teaching, because God loves us, even though we don't deserve it, and he shows his love by sending the gift of a Savior to the world, God's love for us in Christ is so deep and powerful that we are invited in to respond to that gift, to resonate and say amen or hallelujah to that gift, that love is given anyway. And this gift of God's love makes it possible then, unlocks and unleashes us to step into it and to try to extend that gift to the world. So God is love. And I've often said, if God is love, then God can do nothing but love. Everything flows from the position of love. And we are to echo love into the world. Just imagine that echoing of love, traveling far and wide, reaching people along life's way. Well, for First John, in this exhortation, in this sermon that he's giving, it's important for us to know that just in this little section alone, the word love is so important that it is used 27 times in the passage. 27 times. Love's source and substance is God. That's the first thing this section teaches. Love's very source and substance, which the essence of the Creator is love. That's in verse 7 and 8. Then love is in the DNA of the children of God. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever paused to think? It's in your DNA. It flows throughout your body. You are made and created to love and for love. It's in the DNA. And then loving is the means of knowing God. Again, going to first 8 there. Loving is the means of knowing God. If you want to know God, if you want to know God's heart, if you want to know what God is seeking to do in the world, focus in on loving. Another example of how this is teaching love in this section is love finds physical form in the presence of Jesus. Jesus comes into the world to show us what love looks like. This is why when Jesus, toward the end of his life, is saying, if you want to experience love, if you want to be love, then do what I do. Do what I've shown you. Replicate me. Model your life after me. Do what I do. The very physical form of love is Jesus. And God sends Jesus to the world as this love letter, this love presence, this love being, to again remind us what love is to look like. And then in verse 10, where we covered there, our failure to love does not stop God from loving us. This is radical, really, that we're taught in relationship that if I'm not loving to somebody else, they're not going to love me. I've taught about this, that we have conditions on our love. We put all kinds of hedges around our love. And yet here, our failure to love does not stop God from loving us. And I think out there, wherever you are, you need to shout amen, because thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to God for that, that we have love anyway, even with our failure to grow in it, to give it, to share it, all of those things in the world. And then another teaching in this section that jumps off the page in verses 10 and 11. Love actually serves others. There's a hard and fast aspect. There's a rubber hits the road aspect to love. Love serves others. And why is that? Because God in love sacrificially served us. Jesus poured out his life. It cost him everything to love and to do the most loving thing in the world, which was to lay down his life. So loving serves others. It's sacrificial. It cost something. But I would say that it also moves us emotionally, spiritually, in the soul to then resonate with that very act in what it's doing in the world. In verse 12, it's teaching there that Love is not too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. It's not taking an expectation and shoving it off into a future time, but it's actually for the here and now. It's to bear fruit. We're to taste and see that love is good. And then in verse 16, I think the teaching note there is that love naturally flows from those who abide in God. That's the thing about love. The more loving you are, the more responsive you are to that gift of love, it naturally flows from you. And it says those that it's just spilling forth from, who are practicing that kind of generosity and love, that they're truly abiding in God. And I want you to imagine this week to be thinking about people that you know who've been some of the most loving people in your life and how they've done that. What it is that's made up that gift of love. And then in verse 17 and 18, I think the teaching there points us to the fact that genuine faith in God's love in Christ cast out fear. Yes, this is huge. It cast out fear. With fear out of the equation, with fear knocked down and out of our way, with fear eliminated from the center of our heart and mind, we are able to take steps forward into that loving creation, that loving nature. You see, this kind of love that's talked about here is this unconditional love. God is love is an agape love. This is the Greek form of it. It's a selfless love. It is not culturally understood love, but God understood love. The kind of love that never ends, that never stops. And it reminds us of John 3:16. Our love is simply a response to the love first given to us and demonstrated in the love that God has for us. Because God loves, we love. The initiative is God first, and then we jump in the stream. The initiative of God's love inspires us to respond to this grace of the gospel with lives that look like Christ-like service. It's why here at Grace we can say grace in action. It moves us, again, in heart, soul, and mind, in feet and hands, to pour out life among others. But the reality of sin is that it can keep us from loving and serving. And that's that tension of fear. Our sin could simply be to be caught up in fear, to not put our trust into God and to step away from or to distance ourselves from because we're afraid. But no, that love peels back those layers and says, draw close. In chapter 4, verse 18, when it says there's no fear in love, perfect love cast out fear. The Greek word there is teleos, which is perfect in this passage. It doesn't mean flawless, but rather that which fulfills its purpose. The more God's love is realized in us, the less we're going to fear. Again, it removes the barriers, removes the hedges, removes the doors, the anything that separates us from God and from the other. Those things begin to dissolve, to dissipate. And in previous teaching here, when it said that sin is lawlessness, well, in this section, we learn that love overrides the law, that love is bigger than the law. And if it's to be an authentic love, then loving our brothers and sisters really cannot be commanded. The law should not have to tell us, you will love. I find that as a parent, if I sit down and say to my kids, you will do this. Oh, that's fine. That maybe gets it done in the moment. But what does it look like when nobody's watching? What does it look like on Tuesday when life is, harried and hurried out there? Will they choose love? It's actually, again, not just commanded, but it's embraced in a way that since I've been given it and I've been shown it and I've received it, I will then live and do and be that love for the other. Well, a quick quote here. In the movie Shawshank Redemption, that was back in 1994. If you haven't seen that movie and you have some time, it is a powerful one. And there's a powerful line there that we can learn from. It says, fear can hold you prisoner. Hope can set you free. Fear can hold you prisoner. Hope can set you free. I think the writer of John here is wanting us to recognize that loving service to others flows from the relationship that we have with God in Christ, which means we want to spend time nurturing that relationship, going deeper in that relationship, finding ways to learn more fully from that relationship, really drawing close to Jesus and saying, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know everything about you. I want to understand at a deep, connective level how God was speaking in and through your life so that I too can do that same thing. Because this love that is born of God, the essence, the heartbeat of God, the heartbeat of Jesus, this love can overcome fear and help us to live outside of ourselves in loving service to others. So today, what is an area that God might be calling you to step out in a new way, in a different way? How is God wanting to take away those barriers of fear so that you can really fully love again? And if you've been injured or hurt, too, that you could experience God's love in fresh and meaningful ways so that you could be renewed to love again, to pour out yourself yet again. Dear church, this is really important. And I know we preach and teach this along the way, but one of the dynamics that we really get beat up on as the church in the world is that the world will look at us and say, you know, they say love, but they're not really loving. Or they'll say you're too judgmental or condemning, or that love is like a trick. It's like, you know, I'm being bamboozled. And instead of being bamboozled, we should be godsmacked. I mean, absolutely just blown over by all that God is doing. And opened up then to that real presence in real life. I think God yearns for that for us. So how can we be the most loving? How can we be the most engaged? How can we go deep in the hurts and hopes of a world today, right here and right now? And I'm doing this podcast on the day, recording this the day after the shootings in Colorado again. And the world doesn't look real loving. And we often get it wrong. The writer of 1 John knows that. The temptation to get it wrong will always be there. But to abide in God is to abide in love. And God, Jesus himself, says, I'm going to abide in you. You can't take me out of you. So we would do well when we recognize that presence of God within. And I know I've had to draw upon that over and over, the presence of God within, and seeking to draw that out so that there can be a loving response to how we live with and for one another. And so take all of that today, consider it deeply, and as we say here on this Thirsty Thursday podcast, come to the water and drink, be filled up, and stay thirsty, my friends. Until next week, peace and hope. Take care.